But I want to share a little bit about the Holy Spirit today. He's my friend. He lives in me. He directs me. He guides me in everything I do. And I trust that's your confession. I trust, you know, Jesus, when he walked this earth, he spoke about his identity, didn't he? He walked around and said who he was, who his father was, who his relationship was with. Said, my father and I are one. Well, that needs to be something that we speak all the time. Whether you feel him or not, he's in you. Whether you feel him or hear him, or he's there all the time, 24/7. You know, it's a good thing, you know, to develop that relationship. You know, your spirit never sleeps. You know, you ever think about this? I've done this for years. And just, you know, no matter how tired I go to bed, begin to speak and say, I will wake up at this time. Begin to develop that. Instead of being so used to, you know, a clock and a timer and all of this stuff, begin to develop your spirit. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't use an alarm clock. I'm certainly not saying that. What I am saying is if you use it, fine, that's fine, but don't trust it. Develop your spirit. Develop the real person. Begin to say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to wake up at this time. See what happens. Start doing that. So when you go through life every day, say, I'm going to do this, there'll be doors open for me to do this. Because God has made you like him to speak and to decree and to speak things into existence. And the more you speak, you know, when Pastor Sarah was alive, this is back in 2003, God spoke a word through Brother Copeland to her, and it was more of an instruction, and I don't go as far as saying a warning, but he said, I'm going to increase the anointing upon your words. And he said, be very careful how you speak, even in jest, even in fooling around, because I'm increasing the anointing upon your words. He said, your words will not drop to the ground without being fulfilled. He said, they'll go into the spirit realm and they'll work and work and work until the time of the end. So a lot of times we don't realize how powerful our words are. And sometimes God is merciful that he doesn't increase the anointing upon our words. You understand what I'm saying? So sometimes we just need to remember that we are made in his image and likeness, and what we believe and speak and don't doubt that it comes to pass, it'll come to pass. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. God's word is forever settled. So he sent the Holy Spirit here to help us, to be our helper, to be our comforter, our advocate. And he's our friend, and he lives in you. And you need to look to him for guidance, for help in life. That's why, you know, I've gotten to the point in life where I'm going to relax and rest and not be frustrated or anxious, you know, about something. You know, I remember it was I was sharing this recently. In January of this year, I was in some meetings in Connecticut, and I purposed to go to meetings where I know those individuals are used by God to teach, and they yield to God. And I know that, and I know them. And so we were in this meeting, and I when I go to meetings, I expect to receive something from God, some either a word from God or an impartation, something. I'm walking out of that meeting with something. I come expecting. My heart's open to receive. And I come in that room and I'm expecting whatever it is. I'm not determining what it is, but I'm coming expecting to hear from heaven. And so he stopped and he walked over to me and he started to share some words. And he said something that helped me because I had some things on my mind. And you know, the Holy Ghost knows what you're thinking, doesn't he? And so he just started sharing. He said, just turn it over to me. He said, and just laugh. He said, I'm increasing the anointing. He said, the greater the anointing, the lighter the load. That's what he said to me. The greater the anointing, the lighter the load. And so he said, just laugh. He said, just laugh at obstacles and opposition. He said, just laugh. He said, you'll laugh your way right into it. And I said, thank you. Got it. And he said, the words have already been spoken, meaning things that are to come to pass, they will come to pass. But the words have already been spoken. And he said, some things take time to catch up in the natural. And I thought about it, and the Holy Ghost reminded me of this the other morning when I was quiet. He said, he reminded me of that little interaction I had with this minister. He said, some things take time to catch up, which has already been spoken. Let me remind you, this is what he reminded me. He said, when in Genesis, man failed, Adam failed, and what happened? He said, the seed of the woman shall break the what? Shall break the lordship. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Minister Joe, what is that in Genesis? He said, the seed of the woman will bruise. That's the word. Well, he began to put in motion salvation, didn't he? And how long did it take? It took hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus manifested. But he spoke it, didn't he? He spoke it. And it took time for that to manifest. It's no different in your life. Stop giving up when you say, it's going to be this way. It's going to happen. I'm going to have this. I'm going to do this. God has promised it, and I'm going to have it because it's mine. He has lavished me with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, and I'm in Christ. So it's mine. Come to me in the name of Jesus. Leave it in his hands. And just because it doesn't show up tomorrow doesn't mean he didn't hear you and doesn't mean it's not on the way. So you just laugh and rest and begin to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you that it's on the way. That's what he admonished me. He said, just laugh. The words have already been spoken. Just laugh. And I said, oh, yeah, that's what we're doing. And all the things that have been spoken over this ministry shall come to pass. And the things he's spoken about you shall come to pass if you take hold of it and you just begin to thank God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Some things take time. Some things manifest quickly, but some things take time. For whatever the reason, you know, it doesn't matter. What the reason is, we have it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the Holy Spirit is our friend. He's here to help us. He's here to guide us and to lead us into all truth. And he's here to speak to us and direct us. in the affairs of life, you know, that come. So, you know, we all run into obstacles in life, and this is, you know, some of the things we were sharing yesterday. We all run into things, you know, sometimes, you know, choices we make lead us down particular roads. And maybe because of my choice, it's bumpy. Didn't have to be, but it's bumpy. But God's going to straighten it out. It's going to get straightened out and worked out. Some things may take a little time, but it doesn't mean that he's left you. It doesn't mean that he's not caring for you. Or look, he said, I will never leave you nor what? Forsake you. So once I'm his child, see, he's not going to leave me nor forsake me. He cares about me. He loves me. See, you know, just think about this. God is a loving God. He's a loving Father. And just like if you're a parent, he gives us his word. He gives us the Holy Spirit to live in us to do what? Direct us, warn us when you see something that's not going to be right. But we have a choice to listen, don't we? It's just like children. You raise your children, and if they're living in your house and so forth, you know, when they get old enough, they're going to make their own choices. You may warn them. You may say, that's not a good choice. But if they make the choice, do you ever leave them or forsake them? No, you don't. You're there to love them and help them. And God is the same way. He loves us, but we still have the right to make our own choice. And if we you know, yield to him, you know, we'll get back on track. He'll help us. And some things just take a little time. That's all. That's all we're trying to say, that God loves us. He sent the Holy Spirit to help us. And he's here to lead us and guide us in this earth. So John 14, we're reading that. I like this. This is in the New Living Translation. I'll read the same thing. John 14, starting in 16. It says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. So that's the key. The world doesn't recognize him, and it's not looking for him. We need to, every day, every moment, say, Lord, you know, direct me this day. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I know you live in me. Talk to him. You know, I've learned through the years. How many have made a lot of mistakes? Me. A lot of mistakes. But what I've learned is he's here to help me. And so out of a lot of these mistakes, I've just learned to yield. If a thought comes, I don't care how crazy it is. You know, there's times, here's how I learn. And I've learned by missing it. I'm not saying that's the best teacher or trainer, but I've learned in that when I've missed some things, and I said, but that was the Holy Spirit. Why did I just dismissed it, thinking, eh. And it comes gently. And so I've learned to just, when a thought comes, as simple or as insignificant or even silly, I'll just say, well, you know what? I'm going to check that. I'll just check it. Let me just check it. And boom, thank you. Thank you for you know, letting me know. It means you're acknowledging him. How would you know? I know I hear this sometimes with married couples. The wife would be saying, yeah, I tell my husband all the time to do this. And I'm talking and I'm talking and I'm talking, and I'll go, hello, are you listening? Can I break in? Is anybody home? You know, or you might have been having a conversation. And it could be the wife or the husband, either one. You're talking, and you're not listening. You're absorbed in some other thought, right? I hear this a lot. And and it's not out of just, I don't want to listen, but you're just absorbed. You're somewhere else in some other thought. And we can do the same thing with the Holy Spirit. We're so absorbed with our own thoughts, and he's trying to break in, and a thought comes, and it's him, and you're like, I'm too busy. I'm not doing that. And yet, it's him speaking. I mean, sometimes when I come back from Pennsylvania, a thought will come up. Go in the back and check this door. Can be that simple. Check this door. And I'll go, well, they know how to do the doors. Why am I checking it? We have people that do that down in Nanuet. But I've learned not to ignore those thoughts. Because the more you ignore that, it might be something that's life or death, and you're ignoring it. And so I've learned to yield to that. Just yield to those thoughts that come and just go check it out and there's a door open or there's lights on. I mean, it's simple stuff, but it's learning him the way it's learning him speaking to you. Does everybody understand that? Just the simple things, the simple thoughts that come and you're yielding. What is he doing? He's bearing witness with your spirit. You're learning to crawl with him, and now you get up and you're learning how his voice. I mean, he gave me some instructions last week to do something today. He said, I want you to do that. I heard him. I know. So if I don't do it, then I'm ignoring him. Right? That's the wonderful thing, that we don't have to go through life bumping through. He already knows what you're thinking. He already knows your frustrations. He already knows the things that bug you. He already knows that. And so he's trying to help us just yield to the thoughts that come and the witnesses. You know, I wanted to share a little bit today. It's so wonderful to talk about the Holy Spirit, because he is really my dear friend. He's God. But just working in us every day, we don't have to struggle. That's the point. We don't have to struggle. I was sharing something yesterday with the men. You know, I was just saying, you know, I don't know how many years ago it was. I was sitting in my office at the church, and the thought came, and I could have just dismissed it, and I did. I said, I want you to go to Men's Warehouse. And I went, I don't want to go. I did. I fought it for 20 minutes, half an hour. I said, I don't want to go. I got enough suit coats. I don't want to wear suit coats anymore anyways. So I said, I got enough. I'm not going. That was the thought, just flesh. You know, I said, I don't want to go. So it kept coming up, go to Men's Warehouse, out of my spirit. So finally, I went over and I went, huh, how about that? So they were having a sale, just sport coats, not suits, but sport coats, $100. But these sport coats they were trying to get rid of, they were Hickey Freeman, they were $700 a piece, cashmere. And they were nice, because I know good quality suits. They were not junk. They were good. And I went, oh, thank you. Dumb, right? So I said, well, don't you think God knows, you know, all the time we spend, I'm going to go shopping. And you buy stuff that probably you don't need. And he knows exactly where the sales are and where the good stuff is. right? And we spend a lot of time not listening. And so it just got me to thinking, you know, it was another time I was sitting in my office and he said, go to Macy's. And I went, I don't want to go to Macy's. I got enough stuff. So I go over there and I'm poking around in the suits and I pull this suit up and it had $40 on it. And I thought they missed a zero because the tag said $400 and it was stamped $40. So I'm thinking, well, okay, so I go over to the sales lady and I said, is this a mistake? She said, no, it's $40. That's what I'm saying. And it was a brand new suit. It wasn't any regular, it wasn't damaged, it was new. So this is what I'm saying. God knows how to get things to you if you just listen. And the good things of life, the good things that he has in store for us, if we'll just yield to him, listen to him. And, you know, it's what's happened in this ministry for all these years. You know, it's when we call in a certain amount of money every week. You know, you're doing it what? By faith at his direction. We just didn't pull that number out of the air. It was something that the Holy Spirit directed us to speak, that specific amount. And so we call that in, expecting it to come in. In the natural, does it always come in? No. But you don't call those things that be not. What is faith? It calls those things to be not. And so that's the point, that we need to operate by faith at his direction, and he's here to help us. One of the things that I wanted to land on here today was the way God directs us, the primary way, is the inward witness. Why don't you just make this confession? I have the Holy Spirit inside me. I have the Heavenly Counselor, the Divine Guide, the Holy Teacher inside me every day and every night. He leads me and he guides me. He helps me night and day. So the inward witness, and this is Romans 8:16 or 8:14 and 8:16. It says, as many, Romans 8:14, it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And the inward witness is a spiritual sense or a knowing. It's not a voice. So the inward witness, as the Spirit, as the Scriptures say, we'll put up Romans 8:16. And I think I'd like to read that in the New Living Translation, because King James talks about and calls it, says the Spirit itself, and the Spirit of God is not an it. But let's put it up in the New Living. It says, for his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. So he does what? He bears witness with our spirit. And that's a spiritual knowing, or you could say a sense. The inward witness is a perception. It's another word you could say, it's an impression. What do I mean by that? When God is leading you, You just have a knowing, I should do this. You know, it just feels right to do this. And then there's times you go, you know, I don't feel good about this. I don't feel like I should do this. You just have an impression. It's not right. I shouldn't do this. That's the Holy Spirit leading you. And the more you yield to that, you know, just making decisions every day. You know, if you work on a job, people are always saying, well, we need to do this. We need to do this. You know, when you're in church and you're a leader, everybody wants to do something. Everybody. I think we need to do this. And passionate about it. We need to do this. You know what I mean? We need to do this. And you get 10 people doing that, like, we need to do this. We need to do this. We need to do this. And you're like, okay. Don't you have an answer? Not yet. I'll get back to you. And sometimes you have to wait and see, does that feel right? You know, and you may say, well, that sounds kind of, you know, but the Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit. And if God, if you're leading in a church, you want to do, and if you're a father at home or you're a mother at home, you want your choice to be right, don't you? Not just rushed. You want it to be right. So who knows the right way? The Holy Spirit. And he lives in you. And he will bear witness with your spirit and let you know, yeah, that's okay. That's the right way to go. That's a good choice. Or, I don't feel right about this. It doesn't feel right. That's bearing witness. It's a check. It's like, no. Now, maybe it's not a no, maybe it's just not right now. Everybody understand that? Just because a no doesn't mean no, period. It could mean maybe we need to just hold on that right now. Because sometimes the Holy Spirit will let you know it's okay to leave now. Maybe he says, wait 10 minutes and get on the road. We're always in a rush, aren't we? Gotta go, gotta go, gotta go. Gotta get on the road, gotta go. That's how the world is. And sometimes we need to be listening, always on the inside. Get in that car, you turn the engine on, you get ready to go, and you're like, Because your mind is saying, I gotta go, we gotta get there, we gotta go, we gotta go, we gotta go. But what's your heart saying? Your heart is the real you. You know, it was funny the other morning. We were charging up here, coming up here. We try to get here by 10, you know, to do work on the property on Thursdays. And, you know, this is the time of the year we get out here. We got leaves and all this stuff. So it's like, man, let's go. And I was running a little late to meet everybody by about 15 minutes. And I'm thinking, oh. But I felt okay being late. As soon as we hit the bridge, right on the bridge, we're 15 minutes behind it. There's an overturned truck, tractor trailer. And I thought, well, that's good. Where would we have been? So sometimes, you know, it's okay to be behind in the natural schedule. Listen. Just listen to that inward witness. It's the same with buying and investing. You know, if you're in certain businesses, people want to, you know, do something. You know, you got to buy. I mean, we just purchased a piece of equipment to cut down this high grass here. We've been wanting to. We said we're going to get one, but. We were picking up some equipment, Minister Esmond was. And we didn't plan it. The guy walked up to him because we were going to rent. We rent sometimes what we need. So he was picking up a brush hog so we could cut the high grass. So we were going to rent it for about 4 hours. So the guy walked up to him. He just happened to be there. And he said, "Hey, you guys interested in buying one?" And he said, "Well, actually, we are." And he said, "Well, I really need to get this off of my floor here." And he said, "I bought 5 and I got 1 left." And he said, "I really need to push this out because I got snowblowers coming and I really need to get rid of this." And he knocked $700 or $800 off of it. So you're like, "Yeah, we'll get it." And he brought it back. So that's what I'm saying. We wanted one, we needed one, but we won't pay full price. No. And, you know, we've always, you know, you always learn things like buy things off season, not during the season. Right? So it happened to be just, it worked in our favor. So that's what I'm saying. And it felt right. It felt comfortable. And we've done that with every vendor that we work with. You know, I'm just sharing things, how, you know, following that inward witness and believing God for favor. Now, we do for with vendors. You know, here for years, if you see all these trees, when trees have to be taken down, if anybody's a homeowner, you're paying a la carte. You know what I mean? Per tree. And some of these trees here, 60, 70 feet, they'll get you a la carte. And so we had to pay a la carte. And so one guy that we were using, he was never available. And finally we had all some trees. And so he said, we said, "Can you give us a recommendation? Give us somebody." And he gave us the name of a company that was renting his equipment to him. So when he came, this guy is amazing. And so when he came, this is what we did. We said, instead of taking trees down per tree and paying per tree, can we book you per diem?" And he said, "Yeah." So he comes with 5 or 6 guys, and he charges us to take down as many trees as they can for the day, and he's charging us the same amount of money as the other guy was charging us for one tree. That's what I'm talking about, this favor. And now they take, and again, the advantage here is that they take all the trees, they put them in the backside of this property, and all the trunks of the trees, they cut them up, they put the chips back there, all of that. That's fine. But we're taking trees down, and this guy is just, he's a gem. He is a gem. And he's given us tidbits on things, and it's just, it's favor. But it's believing God for favor, believing God, speaking it. Now, maybe you have to go through a few things and iterations before it. That's why I said some things may take time for things to fall into place, but it's coming to pass. It's going to come to pass. So he will bear witness with your spirit. He'll show you. He'll lead you. You know, something that God gave Pastor Sarah when they were coming back from Bible school, they were giving, they were driving back from Oklahoma, and the Lord gave her, the Holy Spirit gave her the motto for the church, where the love of God is evident, the Spirit of where the Word of God is taught, the Spirit of God is directing, and the power of God is manifest. So that motto has been key and for things that we do. So just remember that He's here to do what? To direct us, to guide us, help us in everything we do. Everything. Every choice that we have to make. Remember, he doesn't bear witness with your intellect and your emotions. He bears witness with your spirit, because he's a spirit and you're a spirit. He bears witness. And he doesn't lead us through our mind or our body. He leads us how? Through your spirit. That's why, you know, I like a minister that shared this recently. We heard it last year. She said, we need to become better at being spirits. We need to become better being a spirit, because that's the real you. You know, a lot of money is spent to develop your body, keep it in shape. A lot of money is spent on your intellect. How much is being spent to develop your spirit? How much? How much time? How much effort are you spending to develop your spirit? Because that's the real you. And from your heart, from your spirit, the issues of life, the boundaries of life are set. That's what Proverbs 4 says. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear. That's the King James. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. And then it goes on. It says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it come what? The issues or boundaries of life. So the things that we have in life are based on things that we've set boundaries to. So again, let me just read a few more translations of Romans 8:16. It's the Amplified. It says, the Spirit himself thus testifies together with our own spirit, assuring us that we are the children of God. You know, I'm just taking time. Here's another scripture. You can go through and look these up in the New Testament and also in the Gospels. But turn to Luke chapter 1 and verse 3. And you can just run this. And then they can put this up. If they have the Young's literal translation, they can put that up. But just Luke chapter 1 in verse 3, it says, it seemed good to me also. Do you see that term? It seemed good to me. That's the inward witness. It seemed good to do this. And let me read this in Acts 15:22. And they can put that up in the King James. Acts 15:22. It says, then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And verse 23, and they wrote letters by them after this manner, the apostles and the elders and brethren, send greetings unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. 24, for as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with what? With words, subverting your souls, saying You must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. Now look at verse 25. It seemed good to us. See that again? It seemed good to us. Being assembled with one accord to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. Verse 26, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 27, we have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. Look at verse 28, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. But you see that term, it seemed good to us. And it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. That's the inward witness. It seemed good. It seems right to do this. And then you could say on the converse side, it doesn't seem right to do this. It just doesn't seem right. Doesn't seem right. Where? Inside here. That's the inward witness. And sometimes as you're going through life, you go to make a choice. Brother Hagin would talk about this. When he'd be asked to go minister somewhere, he'd say, it just something is, I want to write something and do something, and it didn't seem right. I remember I had an experience years ago. This is many, many years ago. After the Lord spoke to me about some things in my life, I wanted to go to Rhema Bible Training Center. So I went out there, and it was interesting. So I was at camp meeting, and I went over to their table, and I wanted to get an application. So I showed up, and I said, I'd like an application for Rhema. And the guy looked at me and he said, no. Now, he didn't know me from Adam. And I thought, well, maybe he didn't hear me. So I said, well, maybe you didn't hear me. I'd like to have an application for Rhema Bible Training Center. And he looked and he paused and he said, no. And there's that three times. So finally, I fussed. I probably shouldn't have. But I fussed, and I said, no, I want an application. So he finally gave it to me, but here's what happened. Now I got it. I'm like, yeah, I got my application now, right? But when I got home, I struggled to fill it out. It didn't seem right. They were being led. Now, I mean, there's no reason why you wouldn't get an application. Here, you have an application. But they were being sensitive, and I was being carnal. But when I got home, when I sat down to fill it out, I was struggling. I'm like, what the heck is this? And it didn't seem right. And I struggled, and finally I just put it down. And I remember approaching Pastor Clinton at the time and told him, you know, I'd like to go. And he turned around and he looked at me and he pointed his finger at me and he said, your Rhema is right here. And I went, huh. And so I didn't go because it didn't seem right. Now, was there anything wrong with going? No. But my place was supposed to be here, to support them, because I did. I worked personally with them and supported them. And after 20 years, when I met with them privately, he said to me, there's many things we would have never accomplished had you not been here. So I said, okay, thank you. So when I went to fill that out, it didn't seem right. It wasn't that it was wrong. But if I had forced it and gone, I'd have missed God by 100 miles. I'd have missed him because where I was supposed to be is what he ordained. See, everybody understand that? So that's part of being led. Every choice, every decision, there's that, does it seem right? And when it doesn't seem right, it ain't. It ain't right. It's not right. Maybe it's just not the right time. Maybe it needs to just hold off a little bit. Or maybe it's just not right. It's not for you to do. Or purchase, or whatever. You know, you hear this a lot of times, you know, when people make choices about, you're already, your spirit is alive. Now, a lot of times, you don't realize it, and your emotions take the advantage of it, right? Your flesh. And a lot of times, people get into relationships, you hear this a lot of times, after the fact, I should have never married that person. And I knew it, but my emotions took the better of me. Anybody ever hear that? Yeah, all the time. But your spirit was crying out saying, no, don't do it. But you did it anyways. God still loves you. He'll get it fixed. He'll get it corrected. He'll get you right back on the right path. But sometimes you've got people that should not be together. And God can make, you know, I mean, Pastor Sarah and Clinton, they talked about it. They said, look, they were in a bad, bad, bad spot. And they said God corrected some things. And he did a lot of supernatural things through them. And God, you know, they had to get things straightened out amongst themselves to walk and obey God, you know, because we're flesh. We're not redeemed, you know, and this flesh isn't, and it wants to do what it wants to do. People have habits and all kinds of stuff. But your heart will lead you if you just yield, develop it, spend more time, listen to your heart. Listen to the Holy Ghost. And we can get to the place, I'm convinced, we can get to the place where we will never miss it, ever. You won't miss it. You won't miss it. Because God loves us. He wants us to not miss it. I mean, think about it. When you miss it, John 10:10, just think about it. He says, the thief comes but for to do what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. So when we miss it, does it steal things? Oh, yeah, it does. It can steal your money. It can steal your time. It can steal your emotion. All those things, it's meant to destroy and steal and to distract you. But the Holy Ghost has come to help us to live an abundant life and not miss it. And I'm convinced we can get there. I am. Because the Word says so. He's our helper. Right? Amen. Amen. I mean, to me, it's just being honest. Say, you know what? I could do better. I can get better at this. And just slow down, not be so busy, get my head out of the way sometimes, and just while all the stuff's buzzing around, listen down here. Does it seem right to do this? If it does, keep stepping. Keep moving. You know, you can't steer a parked car. You gotta move in some direction. And when you get off, the Holy Ghost will say, no, that's the wrong road. You gotta go over here. But you're moving. You're doing something, right? You're putting one foot in front of the other, even if it's in the wrong direction. He'll get you on the right road, right? He'll help you. That's what he's there for. He's to help us. So you start moving. But if you're going down the wrong road or you're making the wrong choice, he'll help us. But listen down here. Listen, does it seem right? You know, some ministers said, look inside to your seamer. You know, the seamer, it seems right. Does it seem right? You know, a lot of times, you know, you hear business people, they'll take jobs just because it's money. You could be a business owner. Well, it's money. I need to make money. Yeah, and you could take that job and lose money. Does it seem right to take that job? Maybe it doesn't. But if it seems right, do it. Right? Amen. I hope that helps a little bit. Praise God. Amen. Because this is living every day. Every day we have choice after choice after choice to make. And he wants us to live above all this evil and mess. Amen. Well, let's conclude. Father, we thank you for helping us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for living in us. Thank you for bearing witness with our spirits that we're the children of God. Thank you for leading and guiding us in every choice that we make. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I also want to, before we leave, let's join our hearts together and pray for, continue to pray for Israel, you know, and all that's going on. I don't think we really grasp the, you know, I've been in some areas, I've been over a few times to Israel and some of these areas. So we went into Hebron, you know, some of the areas now you can't even go in. When I was over with the church, we were able to get into certain areas, but certain areas, you know, and I think always remember, this isn't about Jew versus Palestinian. It's the people over there are lovely people. It's the people who lead that are influenced by demonic forces that cause these problems. And so, I mean, when we were in Israel, we had, for all the times we were there, they were Palestinian guides. We had Palestinian guides that were Christian. They were wonderful, wonderful people. And so, you know, I mean, you see the same tactic in every country, this country and other countries, that the devil tries to pit people against people. You know, the scripture talks about that tribe or ethnos against ethnos. And so we just need to recognize that. And, you know, I know you can see certain, I know Dr. Billy Brim has her autumn assembly running this week, and they, in Branson, and they are big advocates. She owns property on the Sea of Galilee and is building a big center over there. And there's a gentleman that he was a terrorist, got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and he loves Israel. So I think a lot of times, once a person's heart gets changed, then the love of God comes into them, and they get their mind renewed, and all of this hatred that's fomented is changed in an individual. And so we, you know, as a church, we support Israel, we love Israel, and we're going to do whatever we can in prayer and whatever else to support that and stand behind them. And we need to remember that if it wasn't for that land, and they are what? They are the true vine, in the sense of the we're grafted in. So if it wasn't for God's hand upon those the people. We're the grafted in ones. Those are his people. And we are too by redemption. But we just need to remember that God's hand is on that country. And main thing is we want to pray that the people's hearts change that are there, because, you know, when you, the news that comes out of that area, they're trained from almost birth to hate Israelis. In their school, they're trained to hate. Well, we need to pray that God died for them too. He died for all of those individuals. He died for the terrorists. He died for all of those individuals. And so we need to pray that the light of that gospel gets shined into their hearts. And so before they leave this earth. Otherwise, they're going to spend eternity in hell. So, Father, we lift up your country, your land, Israel. And Father, we thank you for that land, that promised land that you gave them. And Father, we thank you for keeping them protected and safe. We lift up the leader of that country, Netanyahu, and we ask that you give him wisdom, Father, on how to rule and how to lead the country at this point. And we thank you, Father, for keeping that land protected. And Satan, we bind you and forbid you to harm that land in the name of Jesus. We break every power and every principality we come against you that would try to stir up hatred and harm in that country. And Father, we ask that you give them wisdom to expose things done in secret and in the dark, and that the things that may even be planned now, that they be exposed in the name of Jesus, even in this country of America. Expose those things that would harm in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask that those around the country would support Israel and not hate Israel. And those that stand against will not be blessed. And those that bless Israel will be blessed. And so, Father, we choose to bless them with our words, with our actions, and we ask that this country continue to stand with Israel. And we believe that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. Yeah. Watch what you say about Israel, because it's God's land. Now, something that the Lord instructed me to do last Sunday when I was in service, he said I was supposed to come today and lay hands on everyone here today, not just for those in need of something, but he said, lay hands on everyone and impart my anointing upon each and every person here. And for what purpose? I don't know, but he said to do that. And I know him, I know his voice, and I know his direction. And so I'm just going to obey that. And I would say that you yield and open your heart up to that, because God wants to bless you and impart something to you and in you for a purpose. You know, God never does something for just to do. Everything God does is for a purpose and a reason. And what that reason is, he didn't say. He just said, go do this. And that's what we do. But I'm going to obey. And so I'm not forcing anybody. If you're not comfortable, that's fine. I understand that. You'll just miss something. And so, you know, they can direct you up. I'll lay hands on you and in the name of Jesus and impart the anointing that rests upon me and what he's anointed me with to in your life and you receive that in Jesus' name. And always remember, whether you know, a lot of times people don't understand things like this, and whether people stand or fall doesn't mean you don't receive something. Hope everybody understands that. Whether a person stands or falls, it's about receiving something when hands are laid upon you. It's not before you hands are laid upon you. That's what he told me to do. He said, lay hands upon them. But in the laying on of hands, the laying on of hands is a point of contact. What does that mean? It's when I touch my hand either to your forehead, and that is a point of contact. Just like when the woman with the issue of blood, her point of contact was his hem. Touched the hem of his garment, and power went out of him. He didn't touch her, she touched him. And that point of contact is the point where a power is released. You may feel it, you may not. You may fall, you may not. But that doesn't mean that God isn't doing what he said he would do. Hope that's understanding or helpful. Because a lot of times in any setting, sometimes people fall, sometimes nobody falls. Sometimes people do fall. And so that's just a word of explanation. And yeah, you can do that, sure. I'm just going to obey what he told me to do. And you receive that which he's imparting. So you can come up and they'll guide you up here, and just they'll have you stand in a line, and I'll come along and just impart that which he told me to do. And this is for your blessing, for your strength, and whatever God has in mind, I don't know.